How are we gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs? I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting on 860 AM radio. As you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania and the entire tri-state area on the good old radio. If you have Alexa, just go Alexa 860 AM radio. As always, I ask that you contact family and friends, invite them to tune in because today's going to be a rock and roll show. I would like to compliment the people who help us out each and every week with our theme that we've been promoting since 1999. Boy, how I remember that. Buy American-made products and you support American workers, period. Thanks to our panel members, Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Conley, our national small business advocate, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash, and I also have best wishes to you and yours from Curtis Ellis, always promoting the America First Project. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as we get together for another edition of American Workers Radio on this Wednesday, February the 3rd, many of us are still affected by the major snowstorm that hit us in, it was really from West Virginia all the way up to New England. Unbelievable. People got a tremendous amount of snow. I mean, unbelievable amounts. It left us with 8 to 28 inches of snow, and in some places, much bigger. And it was several days of high winds. Boy, oh boy, it was great. And of course, yesterday, Punxsutawney Phil, the groundhog, predicted we'll have 6 more weeks of winter. So that's the way life goes. And yesterday, everyone who was home and watching the Wheel of Fortune saw that one of the prizes was a gift certificate from Mark Andel from the Made in America store. I was really proud to see that, Mark, and you'll have to talk about that with us when we get you on the broadcast. Well, ladies and gentlemen, during the last few weeks, we have all seen many issues discussed in the media, and I mean a lot of them. And by the way, the reaction to President Biden's executive order has been really unbelievable. People were very pleased and they thought, oh, this is going to help, you know, the Buy American Made campaign. Federal government purchasing departments are all going to be ordered to buy American made and keep Americans employed. Well, as everyone knows, and as we discussed on this show 4 years ago, President Trump also signed many executive orders to support the Buy American Made campaign and American workers. Now, they're all good gestures, but I would like to see the results from all the executive orders that were put in place to support American workers. And by the way, let me say also, the American people want to see the list of what government is purchasing right now for our tax dollars. When they see that list, they'll be very, very concerned. And by the way, with computerization, that shouldn't be a problem. They should be able to put that on the net and let us go to it and see what's available. The big question is how much of what is able to be purchased right now is available in the United States of America. Presently, government people have been forced, and I mean forced, to buy foreign made because many of the items that the government buys to keep the government going and give to the schools and all are no longer made in America. So those Buy American Made orders are all very nice, but when you don't have something, you go to the cupboard and the cupboard is bare, well, you're not going to be able to buy it. And that is why we've been pushing so hard on our broadcasts to make sure that the Buy American Made campaign is number one and that people really go out of their way to speak up where they shop, because an order is an order and it's very nice. And, you know, as I mentioned 4 years ago, I'm not a big fan of executive orders. And I will talk about that later in today's program. I don't think they do all that people think they do. And I think I'll give you my opinions on everything and tell people how they can react to any executive order that's in place so that the legislature, the entire House and Congress, are involved in any type of order that takes away or gives jobs to the American people. And I'm sure that many of you would like to see the government make sure that it focuses on every possible piece of whatever to buy it for their sale, in the United States. We can't allow our people to be just pushed aside while we are paying the taxes. And then they give us a snow job. Oh, well, that we can't find that in America anymore. So the executive order says one thing, but we have to be realistic. If you don't have a pair of shoes made in America, you can't walk without shoes. You buy what's available. And this is where the government finds itself. So I'm not one for big ideas and orders and things like that. And we'll talk about that as time goes on. But I'd first like to call on Mark Andel. And Mark, tell me everything. What's going on with you? Did you have a lot of snow up there in your area?
Yeah, how you doing, Mike? And Rich and Lark and Henry and Curtis is out there somewhere. And Mike, we've got snow. I was just plowing. It's funny you say that. And but not the snow you've got. We probably got, you know, probably 6 inches from this storm. But I know you've got a lot, and I knew people got 30 inches or more. I sell the Boss Snowplow, so I'm on their Boss website for weather, and we're always watching these storms coming and forming. But, yeah, snow is good for us, good for our business. We're a snow removal company, repair and selling ice and snow control equipment. And also I enjoy snowmobiling, so our trails are open first time in about 3 years. You can actually go on the trail. So we've got a real winter, and that, you know, snowmobiling or if you're skiing or whatever, but it helps the restaurants, it helps the economy. Winters, you know, people that are set up for winter and winter sports need the snow, and, you know, especially in this tough, tough economy. So, Mike, a lot going on with the Made in America movement also. Very strong. We're seeing sales, you know, we passed last January, already in February. So people are not only going to the brick-and-mortar stores, but they're shopping online at madeinamericastore.com. But like Don Buckner and Made in America, his.com, his organization, they did set the date. They pulled the trigger on the new show. It'll be October 3rd and 6th in Louisville, Kentucky. So I've been on with Jason and Don a little bit, and that's going to be a big Made in America event again. Last year it was canceled because of COVID. The year before it was the startup show in Indiana. But it's going to be a big show. He's got a lot of big players, but it will be this year, Mike, in Kentucky, Louisville, October 3rd through 6th. And he's got some big players, and hopefully everything goes smooth. Also, that Coalition Partnership of America has been putting out some good stuff. That CPA, that's a good organization also. So we've been following that. One major thing I want to talk about, though, is the supply chain. Larkin's talked about it for years, the supply chain issues. But now with the China COVID crisis, we're seeing supply chain breakups in steel. You can't get steel, and the prices on steel alone in the last month went up 30% to 40% on steel. And then yesterday I found out, so it's 24-hour quoting. We're in the, you know, with General Welding, we're quoting jobs constantly. We can only hold a quote for 24 hours. It's going up so quick. And that's a major problem, especially on our military side. When you quote, they want 6 months. And how do you do that? But also we found out there's a shortage. 2x2 tubing, everything comes out of a coil, and it's formed to what you need if it's flat, sheet steel or tubing. But you can't get it now. So that's a major problem if I'm trying to manufacture trailers. You can't get the steel. You know, we got plastics. We got aluminum. Not only are prices double and quadrupling, but you can't get it. So I see the fallout from this pandemic as we go forward. I want to talk about this on radio because even my buyers, my people quoting, asked me to, why isn't this on national television, this shortage? Because we want to recover. We want to regrow the economy. But with this shortage, if you can't get products, I can build trailers or manufacture things, but I can't make steel. So there's such a shortage, and Mike, it actually leads back to there's not enough mills in the country. A lot of the shortages. This is going to take time, but the fallout with not being able to get products. I talked to a gentleman I know, been in business 30 years, sells sport equipment, chainsaws, landscape equipment. He can't get like steel chainsaws. He ordered 18, he gets two. Everything he can't get, his apparel for snowmobile and whatnot was made overseas, so he's cut off. So I think this should be discussed. It's a major issue that's forming and just gradually growing day by day that's really going to affect our economy's recovery, Mike.
You know, Mark, can you tell us how much of the steel that you're using is foreign made at this point?
Yeah, so we always source for Made in America. If we make our fire rings or any products we make for our own stores, we source it as domestic. But steel right now, big problem was overseas was shut off. They can't get steel in. You know, I'll get Scott on, but I'd have to say over 50 to 70%.
50 to 70. Now that
which we should
now that has to be brought down. I mean, we have enough steel mills, and with all the new technology, there is no reason whatsoever to not have the new level of making steel made in America.
And Mike, when I say steel went up 30 to 40% in 2 months, it usually goes up a couple percent a year. What we've just seen in December and mainly January is unprecedented. If this continues like this, you know, there's a perceived value on everything, and you know, people just aren't going to buy certain items. Like if I'm building a trailer, they'll pay a little more. They'll pay in everybody. It's a country problem, but there's a major problem forming, especially if you can't get the steel. Plus,
you know,
with the price,
Mark, you bring a very good thing up. I would like to see our nation's governors get together about this, and maybe the heads of all the legislatures across the United States, and talk about how can any product go up 40-50% in a short period of time?
You know, watch the gas itself too, Mike. You know, I mean, that's crawling up. But this is just starting. You know, and I want to see, you know, 6 months, 8 months. This is a major problem that should be on a national level at this point. How we're handling it, how you can adjust to it, the effects it's going to have on our recovery.
You know, we're taught the people in Washington, the governors, and all the heads of the state legislatures should really get on one big Zoom and talk about all these issues. A person like yourself, Mark, should be able to have an access to these people to say, okay, while you're on your conference, bring up my concerns. None of that takes place. It's all idioticness going on. Every time I turn on a station, I can't listen for long because it's all foolishness.
And here's a problem. You know, I say like a quote I did, we did it back in November for these paint recovery trailers for bridges. So say it was an $80,000 quote. We just requoted it. A guy called back 2 months later. We had to put $20,000 on that quote. So this is major increases. These have to be talked at a national level and how we're going to handle it, because if you can't get product, if you can't build product, you can't sell product, and if you can't have them sales, it's affecting your company in a major, major proportion. It has to be talked about. Again, they're missing everything. You turn on the news, you know, you're not hearing anything about this, Mike.
What you're saying, Mark, is what this is going to do is make it more cost-effective to have the products made overseas.
Yes, you know, at a point you can't get product. The Made in America movement, I think, that the new administration signed is great. But if they can't get it here, they're going to be forced overseas, Mike, and that's where these waivers start coming in. But we have to identify the problem, and I think in the long run we are rebuilding our country. See, the Made in America supplies, my vendors are sticking up for me. They're respecting us. They're making sure they get products. But every product has a little steel, a little plastic, possibly some aluminum, some glass. There's shortages in every industry in little areas. So this is a bubble that's floating out there that's really going to impact how fast we can recover.
Oh, I agree 100%. I want to talk about that pipeline in a little bit. But first, before I do that, let me turn to Rich Logis, because he got cut off on us this week. And I am coming to you from over the phone because of an issue after the storm that we're experiencing. Good morning, Rich Logis. How are you doing?
Hi, Michael. Mark, thanks as always, Mark, for all of this information that we don't hear anywhere else. Larkin, our audio engineer, our listeners, thanks everyone. Me and Larkin are freezing our asses off here in Florida in 50s and 60s degrees here. So
I'm going to send you snow yet.
Yeah, you know, in case anyone's wondering how we're doing, you know, we're cold, Rachel. Also.
Mark,
yeah,
the way you're able to ship stuff around, pack them up, a good couple of snowballs, and
it
send
might be
it
just
over.
A wet
send
box
it over.
By the time it gets to you guys. But
well, I am wearing at the moment Mark's. We stand for the flag and kneel for the cross T-shirt.
Amen.
So thank you, Mark. Thank you for that. And I've got a whole little mini. I've got a whole collection here, Mark, from you. My shirts, other toys that my kids play with. And here's a question. So, Mark, here's a question that perhaps is a little difficult for you to answer, but let's have some fun and have some conjecture here and speculate. Do you think that more and more Americans will pay more? Because you alluded to costs and pricing when you were just talking. Do you think that more Americans will pay more for goods that are made with American-made steel? Because they will cost more. So then the question becomes, why is it over the years there has been such a failure in overall Made in America messaging? Not from you. Not from people like Mike Sessions. I'm not talking about the people in it. Why has there been such a failure on messaging?
You want an answer to that, Rich?
The items cost more money, Mark, because they're higher quality and last longer.
Right. Yes.
So what's happened, Mark? I guess, do you think more and more Americans will pay more? Because those goods will cost more. They will.
After this pandemic, we have to have people at the top and in the middle and in the state legislatures and the city councils start saying, what are we going to do to get our jobs here in our communities, in our states, in the United States? We don't want to be the divided states of America. We want to be the United States of America.
Well,
and
I think
them
first...
not focusing on it for years. Buying American. Number one problem we've had for 20-some years is when they say, oh, we need 10,000 new computers for our schools for the 7th and the 9th grades. Guess what? There's 10,000 computers from foreign. It's immediately a foreign-made product.
Well, I'm going to take the Larkin Connolly approach, because when Larkin says that all politics are local, and it's one of... There's many, many smart comments Larkin's made. I know he'll disagree with me on that. He'll say he's only good for one or two a year, but he's made a lot of smart comments on this show. None smarter. Maybe he's made others as smart, but none smarter. Because I look at it simply as, when you're talking about bringing jobs to a city, Michael, or to a place, it's always a question of looking at who's in charge there. What goes on? What happens amongst the population? And I know I pick on Philadelphia, and I don't mean to. I love coming to Philly when I come in, not in the winter months, of course, but whenever I'm in, I love to come in. But when you're sitting down, Michael, if you're a company looking to relocate, and you put down your pros on one side, Mark, and your cons on the other, on the con side, it's going to be most murders ever recorded for a single year. That's probably not a good selling point to a new employee, right? Well, Mark, you know, here's our new job. We've got a lot of growth for opportunity. You know, you're going to get it on the ground floor. Oh, and the city that we're going to be working in just broke its own record for most murders in a year. You interested?
Well, you know what? You're right in one respect.
So who's in charge? I have this argument all the time, Michael. I always say to people, I don't care what you're talking about. All politics are local. I don't care if you're talking about the economy locally, the school board locally. You're talking about your city council locally, your freaking water and soil commission. Show me who's in charge, and that will tell you, Mark, everything that essentially you need to know about what's gone on economically and what potentially projected may or may not happen there. And that's why all politics is local isn't just about the election. It's about everything that goes on in a community, city, or state, Michael.
The thing is, we've been paying attention to so much politics in these cities, big and small. Who's the better guy? The me. I'm this, I'm that. That we forgot about the people in our cities, the great American people of all races, all colors, and all creeds. I don't hear any politicians running to a microphone and saying, oh my God, I'm going to spend the next 30 days working to make sure more jobs come into our city, into our counties. I don't hear it. When you call and you say that to them, they say, oh, I don't even want to say something like that because I can't produce it. The question is, why not? Go to some of your donors, some of your business people, and ask them to expand. The story is people want a job. They want to be able to support themselves and their families, these political people of all backgrounds, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, or independents. They have not been talking about it. If anybody watches a show on TV, what do you hear? It's mainly negativity. In fact, it's now turned into some of the shows that you're watching on TV. It's so much negativity that it's bad example for your children and your grandchildren to even watch it. It is. Just listen to some of the stuff that is being discussed on these shows. This one is no good. That one's no good. One is degrading the other. Did anybody on those shows talk about, wouldn't it be great if everybody was employed? Wouldn't it be great if the pandemic never happened? Wouldn't it be better if we had more research and development in the system so that we would never have to go through this? Wouldn't it be great to tell people, wear your masks, do the social distancing, we're doing everything that we can? No, it's all complaining. This one was no good. Trump is no good. Now Biden's no good. He's being attacked. Not enough. All the promises he made, 1 million people a day, nothing's going to work out the way it is. It's too much negativity and nothing positive.
Yeah, Mike, it's funny you bring up the negativity because in our shop or in our business climate or environment, January, February are very tough months of the year. By the end of February, I mean, the women are, they're wound up, you know, the cabin fever's hit. Now you add COVID to it, and I've been talking to business owners. It's tough, the morale. I've got to keep them up, keep them positive. They start talking out of school, kind of. There's a lot to this environment and this climate. And you're right, the news and the media, they just fester, you know, kind of fuel it. We need positive, and we have to go forward. And that has to be, you know, talked about, and we somehow have to find happiness. It's sunny in Buffalo today. I'm going with it. You know, there's sun
yes.
out there.
You know, wishing doesn't work. I wish this and I wish that. It's taking action that takes change and makes it possible. My action is to get all the governors together, all the heads of every legislature in the 50 states together, and say, what are we doing for our constituents? What are we doing? You know, since 2013, I've been promoting the idea of getting all the governors together for one reason, and that is, how can they get more businesses opened in their states? And you know what they say? Oh, well, we're a free market economy, Michael. That the governors don't do that. They only worry about, you know, the people. Well, isn't a job worrying about the people?
Yeah, but, Mike, the problem is,
when the hell will they get together and do that?
Most of these elected politicians aren't in our world, and that's a major disconnect right now. They're not. Their decisions,
they are
executive
not,
orders,
Mark,
do,
you
not,
are
they
right.
do not know how they affect the common person and the common business owner, and I see it so clear right now with executive orders being signed left and right and how they're affecting the middle class and the worker. They just don't know. They're in their own world, and that is the disconnect to me.
Well, right. Let me just add this. Executive orders could be okay in a case of an emergency, but they should really be approved within 30 or 60 days in the United States Congress. Who needs to be on record as to how this thing is an emergency? You just don't, with a strike of a pen, cancel the pipeline. It doesn't make sense.
So, Michael, how does one get the Congress with a straight look on its face to approve an executive order by Joe Biden that says you're not allowed to use the word China virus? That's an executive order he signed yesterday.
Is that right, Larkin?
Yeah, he did. Give me 10 seconds. Executive order, executive order, executive order, executive order. China virus. Am I going to get arrested now? Is somebody coming to knock on my door?
Crisis.
Well, listen, let me tell you something. Larkin, executive orders will divide people more than unite them. I think that is
why
we have three branches of government. Everybody should do their part. When a president signs an order after they've negotiated it in the House and Senate, then the president is signing that he agrees. That's two branches of government united. But one person just writing, I don't want this, I don't want that, I want this. This is not a monarchy in America. This is not a monarchy.
Well, I understand that, but you kind of can't get around it. I mean, how do you not get around it, Joe Biden?
Well, I would tell this on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Go down a few links, and you will see how to contact your national elected leaders. I suggest everybody go on the site, call your leaders, and tell them. Many people had reactions to this Keystone Pipeline, and it's very good. I'm glad that they are attacking about it because it brings up a very good point. This is another reason why executive orders should only be temporary. In case of a big fire, in case of something that's unbelievable, an earthquake or whatever, thousands of people contacting their people that they elected, telling them that they want the Keystone Pipeline totally reconsidered. Let them reconsider it. Why can't they reconsider an executive order? I don't know. They reconsidered in past administrations that never signed many executive orders, but some of those were reconsidered. Why can't any order that takes away any rights of people should be temporary and then referred to the House and Senate? Because they are the people who we elected to do the job.
Michael, why was the Keystone Pipeline constructed? Mark, Larkin, all of you, why was it eliminated? What are the reasons given?
I don't know, and that's the reason why the legislature,
Mark,
the House and
Senate.
Environmental reasons. I'm asking.
Okay, the reasons are this. Because somebody wanted it. Maybe a few elected people wanted this done. Was there a study? Is there something I can go right now on Google and find out? Because of the Keystone Pipeline, this happened for the worse, that happened for the worse, so many people died. I want to see those results.
Yeah, I believe it's tied to the climate change and the environmental federal permit
exactly.
on the land.
Is
exactly.
climate change he's not going to be affected by boats coming over from other countries bringing oil over here or trains having to bring the fuel from one state to another? You know, we got to be realistic. Our cars do not run on rainwater or reindeer urine. They run on gas. And we have to be realistic.
Michael,
any order that takes away even one job from this country, the way we are fighting to get these jobs back, should be reconsidered. And I think it's time for the Republicans and the Democrats to stand together and say, what are we going to do now to stop
you
Michael,
can't get them in this. You can't get them to sit down and have lunch.
I
you
know.
You want to get them together in a room.
Well,
well, they should have me. I think I could
Michael,
rile them up.
I just
to
heard
do
you
it.
Say. I just heard you say something about reindeer urine. I'll tell you what. You find that, you better get us in on that because that sounds like donkey cheese or something. You better
well,
get
no.
it. You better get us. You can find any of that. That's better to get Keystone.
But where if
that?
They cut the Keystone Pipeline or cut it
but
down?
What are the reasons?
What is
though,
doing?
Mark?
Where are they going Fine. To get that extra gas?
Well,
where are they going to get it?
Larkin,
it's not gas.
How,
it's not gas. It's crude oil. But
okay, where are they going to get that crude oil?
And what he doesn't.
But wait, Larkin, where are they going to get that crude oil?
Russia.
Okay. Why can't we continue to get it from Canada, our neighbor? Why do we have to have all that energy wasted bringing the stuff on ships to the United States?
Because if you load crude oil, bunker oil, onto a truck and truck it down because the pipeline's closed, it becomes prohibitively expensive. And listen, Joe Biden made a boo-boo. I don't care
Absolutely.
Who you talk to. I don't care who brings it to my attention. Joe Biden made a boo-boo.
Absolutely,
he cost
Larkin.
Us about 2,500 jobs, and I thought they were good jobs. Good
it's
jobs.
More than
and the trickle down is unbelievable.
Let me finish. He canceled about 2,500 pipeline jobs, pipe fitters, and everything else that was going on. I
Welders.
Come to find out that those guys were making over 100 G's a year.
Well, that's fine. Larkin, if they were making 200 G's a year, our country became self-sufficient. We weren't depending on countries around the world to bring us that crude. So that was fine. I have no argument with that.
But, Michael,
our workers had jobs. All those people in restaurants and car dealers and all, they all had some jobs as a result of people working on the pipeline. Where
are
those people going to go now? How are they going to be replaced now? What's his name? Lurch or whatever. Curry. He said, oh, my goodness, let them go and get some kind of technology jobs for saving roof panels or something. I thought, what is he talking about? Where are you do not cancel one job unless you have another job to replace it. That's the thing that our people in Washington don't understand, because their paycheck has not been touched. Through this entire pandemic, those people haven't lost one penny, zero. The most inconvenience they had is the mask on their face. That's about it. And some of them should wear a mask forever. No, go ahead.
Yeah. And Mike, the trickle-down effect from the Keystone Pipeline affects Mark Handel, because I do work for a company that manufactures equipment for the oil rigs and reclaiming oil. So it's funny, you had this COVID-China crisis, right, going on, and all the planes and trains aren't running, so you're only using 20% fuel, so our stockpile's built up, okay. But then you also then cut out, you know, take the Keystone Pipeline out at the knees. This is like, you know, this is where you don't want to be, and then you get that disposable income as fuel's going to go back, because I think it's going to be an FU to the administration. You know, there's so much that they did, like you said, Larkin, major mistake, first off.
But Mark, how are we going to – solar panels are built in part with fossil fuels. True story. How are we going to build solar panels without fossil fuels?
Well, that's the point I was going to try to make before Michael cut me off. It's like 52 to 54% of a U.S. barrel of crude oil goes to gasoline. The rest goes to pharmaceuticals, clothing, plastics.
Roofing, I believe. Yeah.
What?
Roofing material, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, roofing material. Everything has a little bit of crude oil in it, and
Absolutely.
The fact that he's just flat cut it off, that means that every item that uses crude oil is now gone up, is going to go up two to maybe threefold.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, it's embarrassing. He says his answer is, my answer to him is, go fix transportation. If you fix transportation, then there's no demand for crude oil. Then the demand becomes just the 50% that's used to make things rather than crude oil. Get the battery cars out there if you think that's going to work. Of course, you can't buy one for less than $35,000. But
and you can't charge one. Everywhere.
Now, yeah, exactly.
That's
there,
the major
you
problem.
Know, there's, there are, that is the major problem. But there are companies, entrepreneurial companies, that are coming up with. It's my son-in-law told me about a company that he's taken a close look at. These people have what are called battery stations. And you pull in with your battery car, you get out, you lift the hood, You pull your battery out, put it on a charging station, take another battery, put it in, close the hood, and drive away.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, that's innovation. That's
Tesla's on that, Larkin. Yeah. Big time.
Yeah, Tesla's doing it, and there's another small company doing it. And I think, so there are answers to our problems, but you just can't eliminate one without another. So he says, he signs an order yesterday that says the U.S. government owns 350,000 automobiles. I think that's the number. Who cares? It might be even more. We're not going to buy anything that doesn't do this. I think there were like seven criteria, one of them being all battery. They had to be made in America, at least assembled, all this stuff. There is not a single car maker in this country or abroad who can fit the bill of what he put on that piece of paper. Not one vehicle available anywhere.
Larkin, how is the president going to get into Air Force One and Vice President Harris, Air Force Two, to fly around the country to talk about battery-powered cars? You can't put corn in the cob in the gas tank.
There's
on the
not
airplane.
Enough reindeer urine to
now, Larkin,
fill the
now,
cars.
Larkin worked in petrochemicals for decades, and I've been asking this question for the last couple of weeks, Larkin. Name for me a singular accident that happened from an oil rig. I'm not talking about Exxon Valdez and out at sea, those accidents. Name a singular accident, an environmental catastrophe that happened from oil rigs. Name me one. I've just been asking everyone. Name me one.
There's the BP. There was a BP accident off of Louisiana.
Yeah, they made the movie out of it.
Yeah, it was probably one of the biggest ones ever. I mean, I don't care.
Okay, one? So out of quadrillions of gallons of oil coming in and out, we've got one?
Right.
I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying it was right. One accident we could think of?
And, guys, I want to bring up a story that I did in the 90s. That's why I first put General Welding up where it is. I was doing compressed natural gas enclosures for a company called Aurora Tech. They took gas out of your house, you know, at 50 PSI. They pumped it up to 5,000 PSI. And the deal was the government wanted 20% of all your fleets back in the 90s to be ran on natural fuel. And the governor of Florida was the biggest one into this, guys, too, if you look it up. So we were building natural gas enclosures, about an 8-foot by 20-foot compartment, and then they were putting their equipment on that actually took gas and pumped it up to 5,000 PSI. So this project was going, it was rolling, and they gave it a deadline. And Larkin, to your comments, you know, they didn't plan it out good enough. And the end of the story, so I got work. I was building these enclosures for probably 3 to 5 years, and it was going good. But the problem was they didn't follow through. They didn't do the homework. So people were mandated to buy equipment to municipalities. They had to buy a vehicle that runs on natural gas. They had to do this. So I talked to a guy. I got to know a few of them. I asked a guy in Watertown, which is probably about 250 miles from me. I said, how'd that vehicle work out? He said, good. I drove it about 300 miles. I said, why only 300 miles? There's nowhere to fill it. I said, what do you mean? There's nowhere to fill it.
No reindeer.
So this was a problem. This really happened in the 90s. I was heavily into it with the company. Aurora Tech went out of business. They all went out of business because people were mandated to buy the vehicles. They did what they were supposed to. They drove it their 200-300 miles, and that was it. There's no filling stations. It was a bad plan.
It is.
Know how you resolve a problem like that? You actually hire every mentally indigent idiot that you can find, all of the people that really were unfortunately born without much in the cabeza, and you give them a job with the government and sit back and watch it get better.
Sure. Well, that's it. You're right.
You're right. Nobody.
Boy, does everybody understand that? But you know what, Larkin? Here's the big question. What I don't understand. They've been talking about all of this, you know, concern with the energy and global warming and all. Why aren't there documented plans of this is plan one, plan two, plan three?
Yeah.
Why would the
plan.
President sign, God bless the president, why would the president sign ending the Keystone Pipeline unless he knew how that oil was going to be replaced.
So
right?
he goes,
how those
he,
jobs were going to be replaced. How those so incomes he, and families were going to be able to sustain themselves. How?
So
why would he do
but,
that?
Here's why he can't do that. Because in his own mind, he goes, I owe John Kerry. He's been a great buddy of mine, so I'm going to give him a job. So I'm going to hire somebody that's going to make a real example out of the environment. He hires John Kerry as his climate czar. He's the only Democratic guy that he could pick. And so he says, and the guy has 6 houses, 12 cars, 2 yachts, and a private jet that dumped 166 tons of carbon in the atmosphere last year. And you tell me, and when he was asked about this, or how he was going to, you know, start his regime and start to get this character, he's going to start to ask everybody to take a bus. It actually came out of his mouth. He actually said that you should take a bus.
Disconnect.
First of
really?
All, Larkin, you bring up a good point. I would like to see everybody, by example, take a bus. Let them take a bus from Florida to Washington. No more airplanes. Let's save that fuel for the good, hardworking people of America. Even the president, vice president, all the senators, let them start taking buses. Let's see how they would come up with some ideas to end all this nonsense. We can't have. First of all, Larkin, I want to tell you, in our area, and you know the price of gas in our area, it has gone up 30 cents in 3 weeks.
Keep watching.
Oh, hold on to what you got.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
30 cents in 3 weeks.
$4.
You haven't seen anything yet. $4.
I'm with you, Larkin.
This is why. This is why I feel the 150 million voters who went out to vote in the last election should go to the front page of American Workers Radio, and there's a link right toward the middle on the bottom that tells you how to contact your elected official. Very easy, because we're going to see those $4 a gallon. Mm-hmm. And why? Because
and Mike,
of
what's that
people,
hurt? Disposable income.
That's
Mark,
right.
Mark,
because
Michael.
The people in Washington never missed a paycheck. They never miss their expense reports. They
Michael,
have no
it
idea.
Took me, it took me, Larkin, it took me all of 10 seconds to research from OPEC's numbers. Those it's probably pretty reliable, right, for data, for oil.
I mean, they're pricing it now to stay competitive, but go ahead.
Well, I'm talking about oil production, not pricing. I am looking since 1998 to 2019. So we don't have last year's numbers yet, not finalized. From 1998 to 2019, not a single year was there a surge in oil production over the year prior. It's actually a relatively stable graph, what I am looking at in terms of worldwide oil production. Yet, pricing certainly hasn't been stable since 1998, Mark. Yet, the hysteria hasn't remained stable about climate change since 1998. So the question then becomes, what is this all really about? And all it's really about, Mark, reducing the amount of self-sufficiency and self-reliance in oil and energy for us just means that people, maybe some we know, maybe some we don't know, I'm not trying to get tinfoil hat, they've obviously got, Michael, some vested interest in sticking their hand in the taxpayer-subsidized cookie jar for alternative energies. The world has existed for 142 quadrillion seconds and counting. The planet is fine. It's the people that effed
Absolutely. Yep. And by the way,
oil production has been stable. Oil production worldwide has been stable over the last two plus decades. It hasn't been surging where it goes from 3,000 or 4,000 barrels a day to 20,000 barrels. It's been stable. So why has there been so much instability surrounding this resource? And now our former president came in, whether you want to call him former president or president. I always call presidents just president. I don't use former, but it's okay to say it. He came in, the last guy came in, you know, Hitler, the Manchurian candidate installed by Vladimir Putin, whom we're now sitting down and groveling and begging to get his oil from. He sat down and said, wait a minute, why are we bringing in oil from all of these despotic, mass murdering third and fourth world countries when here in the U.S. we're oil rich, Mark? Let's drill, baby. Drill, baby. Drill, and, drill, drill. And,
well, that's right. And you know, go ahead, Larkin.
I just want to say one thing. I'm getting battered with text messages here, and I need to respond to a couple. Respond to a couple of them.
Good. Let me respond to one, too.
Well, he keeps on saying that. When we were talking about battery-operated cars, well, General Motors said the other day they can do it. That's exactly the point I'm making. Yeah. Any one of our American car companies can do it.
Okay, Lark, absolutely. When can I have that car, or am I going to have to depend on the deer to take care of this?
Michael, I'll answer your question if you'll let me finish. It was part of my answer. That's exactly the point I was trying to make. It's going to take time to tool up General Motors to make a totally battery-operated car that adheres to the other 7 points that Biden wants. It's going to take them time. So why don't we just pay $5 a gallon for gasoline? Because here's the thing. We're not going to burn less gasoline as a result of his actions.
No.
We're just going to pay more.
Right.
We're just going to pay
That's exactly
more. It would hurt the American
right.
person, yeah.
And, you know, Larkin...
How does that make just 1 ounce of sense?
Larkin, I want to see the report.
I have a question for Larkin. So, Larkin, if we're paying more, who's pocketing that money? Who's getting it for paying
more? Burisma will be one of those... And I don't know if Nancy Pelosi's son is still sitting on the board of Burisma or not. I know that Biden's son we had four politicians' children working for Burisma, a foreign oil company. Really?
So you mean increased money?
Okay.
So it's not going to go. You mean the increase in cost isn't going to go to planting dandelion fields all across Buffalo, New York?
No. How naive of me to think otherwise. It's going into the Arab nations, and it's, you know what? It's so stupid. It's almost painful. It's one of those things that's so stupid. It almost hurts.
Larkin, I'm going to ask you a question. If you had the ability to have the heads of the House and Senate regarding this pipeline, what would you ask them to do to reconsider?
I'd send them back to kindergarten.
Well, it's an executive order. So I want to know what they're going to say about an executive order. Executive orders discussed in the Congress. I'd like to see Jim Curry. I'd like to see his report where this is going to hurt the climate. We're all going to be walking around with our heads in the clouds and all because we didn't do this. I don't believe that's the bottom line. We just got 28
Who's
inches
Jim Curry?
Of snow. John Kerry, whatever.
Who the heck is John Kerry?
Yeah. Whenever he speaks, I don't want to listen because it doesn't follow with any real proof There's nothing there. It's just talk. Global warming is going to hurt us. Show me how. Show me in writing. Show me what you've done in the last 10, 12, 15 years to correct it. We have done a lot of things with the car manufacturers. They've got better mileage. The car, it's cleaner. You know, there's less pollution. What have they done? What has any of these people screaming and yelling that we need all these regulations? Where are their reports that we can look at and share?
No, there are no such things.
Well, there's no such thing. That's right. That's why I can't understand. In the early days of an administration, he should not have done this to the Keystone Pipeline people.
Michael, you know the answer to your own question. None of these guys believe any of the bullshit that comes out of their mouths.
I
don't understand why we tiptoe around this point. None of these guys believe any of the bullshit coming out of their mouths. You think they're worried about rising ocean levels and the ozone and carbon emissions? These people, Michael, are first world ultra capitalists. Vote blue no matter who, no matter what.
I would like to
ask every sensible, adult-minded American right now, and there are tens of millions of them, Mark, and allegedly, that they're adult-minded. What's not alleged is that they didn't vote. I'd like to ask every sensible, adult-minded American right now who didn't vote in this election if they feel even a scintilla of remorse or sympathy for all the people about to lose their jobs, on top of the ones who have already lost their jobs. I'd like to ask them that question, Mark.
It's a good question. But I'll tell you, you would be asking them a question that they would like to give you an answer to. But the people in Washington, I know some of them, they have a Washington mentality. It's sort of like, why walk when we can ride? Why stand when we can sit? Why sit when we can lay down? Why work when we can receive the benefits paid from somebody else's income?
Okay, Michael. I even lost my point through that tirade. I'm sorry. I apologize. It flew right out of my mind. Except that the only last thing I want to say is China virus, China virus, China virus, China virus, China virus. Come and get me, government. Come on, government. Come and get me. I'm openly defying you. China virus, China virus, China virus. Listen, I'm telling you what. I promised, and promises given are promises kept. I promised that I would give the guy 100 days. This is like his first trimester report. And so far, this guy is failing so badly. Have a press conference, why don't you? Instead of somebody sending some girl up there that knows absolutely nothing, who keeps on saying, I'll have to get back to you on that one. I'll have to get back to you on that one. I'll have to get back to you. And they got so many of those that they asked yesterday, and the public laughed at them so much, they said, oh, well, we were just talking about possible ways of handling this better. No, you weren't. They asked the press if they would submit their questions before the daily briefing. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
You're that shallow? That. Oh, my Lord.
Larkin, here's the
and
big...
And let me... Is one other question. I see the president sitting at his desk. And I see Kamala Harris, who hasn't said 10 words since she became vice president, standing next to him. And I think I finally figured it out. She's got her hands behind her back. I know that she's standing there holding the defibrillator. I know she is. That's why she's there. Everywhere he is, she's standing right over his shoulder holding the defibrillator. Oh, my God, I'm so...
You know, Larkin, I'll be honest. I think that if he did not sign these executive orders, most of them, we would not be divided right now in America. The Keystone Pipeline executive order and some of the things, other orders,
but
which I don't
Michael,
want to get
you're
into.
Talking at Michael.
They're dividing
talking,
us as Americans.
Michael, you're talking about this as if the 81 million Biden voters give a singular shit about who loses their job. Vote blue, no matter who.
No matter who.
No matter what. All that mattered was getting that guy out of office. Now, look, they achieved their goal, which is why I want to ask every stupid, but I'm going to say stupid, sensible American who stayed home, as a contradiction or oxymoron, I want to ask the, you know what? Here's a better answer, Michael. I want to ask the, let's see, let me do quick math right now. 155 million voted, 45. There's about 83 million voting age Americans eligible, Mark, 83, who didn't vote.
Is that right?
Ain't that something, Mark? In the most revelatory moment in the history of the world,
wow,
they stayed home and sat on their grass and drank light beer. Man, ain't that something, Larkin?
The Dems didn't, because they got drug out to vote, and that's why they beat it. That's why they won the victory. I got to answer one more text
message.
Go ahead.
This
text message read, "No wonder this country's going down the drain," to our comments. And all I have to say to that is, obviously, this rhino, if they are, in fact, a Republican, completely forgot the way the press, Senate, the House, and every other swinging whatever in Washington, D.C., treated Trump from day one. Never gave him a chance.
Wait, Walker,
never
a Republican
gave him not
wrote that
5 seconds. What?
A Republican wrote that to you?
This person I know well enough to know that they keep on saying I'm a Republican.
I got a good idea, Larkin. I got a good idea. I say every week we have a segment where we answer Larkin's texts.
Yes, I like that.
Yes. Larkin, I'm serious right now. We're going to have Ask Larkin, which will be followed up by an FU. No. Ask Larkin on text message. Let him text and we'll respond to them on air. Let's spice it up. We need more sexiness here. This is too damn G-rated.
Listen, guys, it's getting near that time. I just want to tell you, this was a great, great show today. And it demonstrates one thing, that the American people better start getting involved, better start contacting their elected people. Otherwise, this is going to continue and even get worse in the next 5-10 years. If you want to contact your officials, as I said 3 times today, there is a link on the bottom of American Workers Radio. Contact your elected officials here. Go on there, put in your zip code, and it will go right to your elected officials, be they congressman, senator, or if you want to get right to the president, you can have that email to the White House. Let's not waste our time. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Mark, Larkin, Rich, Henry, everybody at the station. Thanks for a great show today. Please check out our internet site, AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and you'll see Mark Andel's picture there, along with the great Made in America store link. Do help Mark in every way that you can. Buy American, buy 100% American, right there at Mark Andel's store. Until next week, stay well, be happy, and remember, wishing doesn't make it work. Actions do. God bless.
Coming next week, Ask Larkin. New segment, Ask Larkin.